Let's go to our God, the infinite God, where his mercy and grace never run dry. So before we turn to his word, let's turn to him one more time in prayer. What a beautiful thing it is to come to you again and again, dispensing upon us grace that flows freely and never runs dry. I pray that this church would be filled with the everlasting love of Christ, that we would desire to be with you time after time after time. Lord, we are lowly and needy and weary, but you, God, are infinite in grace and mercy, ready to pour out that to your children. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for those in our church that you have shown your grace to, like Russ and Claire Almeida. I thank you for their love for you and their love for this church body. Thank you for their salvation that they have found in Christ Jesus. I pray that you would continue to use Russ even in these days of retirement to do the good work that you have prepared for him in your kingdom. And I pray for Claire that as she continues to volunteer at the school library, that she would continue to love and care for those children that she interacts with every day. Help her to be a light for your glory. Lord, as Pastor Nathan mentioned, we do want to give you thanks for the recovery and successful surgery of Tim Wilkes. We thank you for the prayers that you have heard and answered, and we pray for a continued recovery in these coming days. Lord, we not only want to pray for ourselves, but other churches in our area preaching the gospel. So I lift up Grace Bible Church to you in Cranston. Thank you for the faithfulness of Pastor Dan Crichton. Lord, I pray that the word sown this morning would be well received and would bear good fruit in that church and in that people. Lord, I pray for the states in the southeast this morning of our country by being hit by Hurricane Helene right now. Thousands without power, the death toll rising, many stranded and lost. Lord, I pray just for those authorities who will be helping with and aiding in the relief efforts, being a sense of that you would bring a sense of calmness and yet urgency to the situation. I pray for the residents to be quickly supplied with basic needs like water and food and shelter and community. And I pray for the churches in the area who are able to not only bring physical aid, but spiritual aid in a time of tragedy like this. May your church and gospel go forth. Have mercy, O Lord. Lord, I pray for those beyond our borders, and so I lift up the Bethel House Ministry in China. I pray for a blessing upon its foster care and education and therapy programs. May your grace be seen through adoptions of Christian families and through the word being spread within their ministries themselves. Oh Lord, would you come and show up in that ministry in a big way? Lord, thank you for the tithes and offerings that you have that have been given this morning. Let us remember that the riches of this world are fleeting and fading, but our time, efforts, and money to further your kingdom are never a waste. That is what's eternal and will last. Use what we have for your glory, Lord. And I pray for the children of this church. May you open their little hearts and ears to see Jesus. Help them to savor their God and their King. And now as we turn to your word, your life-giving word, would you ready us to hear attentively and respond accordingly? Help us to be present with you now and have our hearts fixed on you. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength, our Redeemer, in whom we trust. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have a copy of God's word, I would like to bring your attention to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 34. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 34. I'm sure you have heard of the phrase, in one ear and out the other. What does this communicate? Well, it communicates that when we tell our spouse or our children or grandchildren to do something, they nod their heads, signaling that they heard you. But in reality, they had no idea what you were saying. In one ear, out the other. Or how about trying to give someone a piece of advice? When you do, they seem to agree with you that that is good advice. But later on, they don't take that advice, and they end up in a bad situation. Or just what about communication in general? Communication is tough, is it not? You know, as a preacher, I can do my best to be as clear as I possibly can with the point I'm trying to make, and someone can totally miss the point I'm trying to make, or they just misunderstand what I'm trying to say in general. What do all three of these scenarios have in common? We have trouble listening. We have trouble really hearing the message that is trying to be communicated. I'm sure each and every one of us want to improve on our communication so that we are better understood, but just as important is one who is able to listen well. In our text this morning, listening is going to be essential. Not everything about God's kingdom is easy to understand. And there is a purpose for that. As the word of Christ goes forth, it will fall on all types of ears. But the ear who hears, accepts the word, will bear fruit. And don't you want to bear fruit in God's kingdom? Don't you want to grow up into maturity in the faith? And so the point that our text will make this morning is that the secret of God's kingdom is revealed to those who hear by faith. The secret of God's kingdom is revealed to those who hear by faith. Now, if this is the case, then we must do two things. Pay attention to what you hear. That will be verses 1 through 25. And when we do, we will understand, secondly, how the kingdom progresses. That's going to be verses 26 through 34. So let's go ahead to dive into our first point. Pay attention to what you hear. Let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 20. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into the good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around with him, the 12, asked about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. What we see about this parable is that the parable of the sower is about hearing. It's about hearing. In the context of Mark, you can begin to see why Jesus starts to use parables, why the parable of the sower is first. There is a crisis of understanding of who Jesus is and what he is teaching. There is a deafness starting to settle into the ears of some hearers of his word. Last week, we saw the religious leaders oppose him so much that they began to plot his death. His own family members are trying to go after him and pull him away from his mission. And it seems like his own disciples are hanging on by a thread in their understanding. But as we saw last week, his disciples remain with him. They remain listening to him. So at this point, Jesus is going to introduce the parable of the sower, the one about hearing. The parable can be broken up into four sections. The first section, verses 1 through 9, introduces the parable. In it, there is a sower, seeds, and four types of soil. The first three soils are not conducive for the seed to grow and bear fruit. But the last soil we see falls on good soil and produces an abundant harvest. Jesus begins the parable in verse 3 by saying, "Listen, behold." And he ends the parable by saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." We must listen. So Jesus wants his audience, right, to really tune in with ears wide open to what he is telling them through this parable. Jesus is the sower who sows the good news of the kingdom. And this is what Jesus has come to do. We have seen already in chapter 1, verse 14, we saw him coming into Galilee proclaiming the word of God, saying the kingdom is at hand, repent and believe. And in verse 38 of chapter 1, he says, "Let us move on to the next town so that I might preach, proclaim the word of God there also, for that is why I have come out." As the farmer sows indiscriminately and tirelessly, so too Jesus here is working, teaching, and preaching tirelessly to all who will hear and won't hear about God's kingdom that is present in himself. And so with those commands to listen on either side of the parable, the message for disciples of Jesus is this. Again, listen. Hear what I am saying. As one commentator notes, discipleship is not what we can make of ourselves, but allowing both the sower and the seed to produce a harvest which we alone are incapable. You see, without the sower, there is no seed. And if there is no seed, there is no harvest to bear fruit. As those of us who regularly hear and read God's word, we must remember that God is a living God who speaks. A speaking God who creates out of nothing. A speaking God that saves and judges. A speaking God that makes dead hearts come alive. By speaking, God invites us what he has said through his living and active word. So when you read or hear God's word, you're not just reading ink on a page or hearing words mixed with sounds coming from my mouth, but you are experiencing, by the aid of the Spirit, God's word come alive in you. But as we see in the parable, not all ears hear effectively. And this is the dilemma that we all face. We all have ears close to the ground, able to hear the world around us, but not ears turned upward to hear spiritual words from above. And so what will break up our ears to hear spiritual truth? What will pull us from our regularly scheduled programming to break in to give voice to eternal reality? It is Jesus. The Word made flesh. By God becoming a man, he gives voice to the need of our humanity. You see, God's kingdom can't rule over us until his word reigns supremely within us. Now, if this is the case, why does it seem then that Jesus is hiding his word or his message in parables? The second section, verses 10 through 12 of the parable, will give us the reason why Jesus used parables. You see, parables are a way of getting at the truth in a different way. They often had a shock factor to them. And the purpose is to knock the hearer off of what they understood about the subject so that they can understand it in a new way. And the truth that Jesus was often trying to communicate through his parables was the truth about the kingdom of God. If you remember, the Hebrew people were ruled at this time in Jesus' day by the Romans. But their scripture promised a day that God would rule over them and be their king. But the people's idea of how that would come about and how God actually planned that to come about to bring his kingdom were not the same thing. The people thought that his kingdom would come to earth with power and strength and might to overthrow the empire. But what Jesus was teaching about God's kingdom on earth did not fit their expectations. So through the use of parables, Jesus is trying to communicate that his person and mission is the arrival of God's kingdom on earth. But the hearing of this message fell on dull ears because that's not what they were expecting. One person compared parables to a stained glass window in a cathedral, dull and lifeless on the outside, but brilliant and radiant from within. But one has to move inside in order to see the radiance and life-giving message of the parable. And that's what Jesus is going to get at in verses 10 through 11. I want us first to notice that it was those who are around Jesus that asked him what these parables were about, right? I want to turn your attention to verse 10 again. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. You know, so right off the bat, it's okay to not know everything that God's word is trying to tell you. That is why disciples are called learners. And that's what we see here. Jesus' own disciples didn't really understand what he was talking about. Like, Jesus, you're speaking kind of strange here. We're not really getting it, right? And so they go to him and ask him. But it's because they were with Jesus, right? Because they were with Jesus and interested in actually knowing what he was saying, they were able to ask him. Paying attention includes caring enough to understand. And if you are to understand, you need to be with Jesus to ask questions. Asking questions is essential to the growth and maturity of a disciple. Asking questions communicates back to the communicator that you want to understand what they are saying. Am I hearing you right? What do you mean by this? Right? You want to get the message right. You want to understand the truth. You know, as a teacher and preacher of God's word, when I sit down to prepare a sermon, I have the text in front of me. And one of the first things I do as I'm reading it through and through again is asking questions about the text. Questions help us understand, right? What does this word mean? Why does Mark put this paragraph here and not here? Why is he using the word listen so much? There's something to this. And then I start praying, Lord, help me to understand. Open my eyes to see. So what am I doing here? I am seeking and asking to understand rightly what God's word says and means. And I would encourage you to do the same in your own listening and reading of God's word. Right? Whether you're studying it on your own or listening to a teaching or a sermon, begin to ask questions of what's not making sense. Pray and ask God to reveal his truth to you. Because how we listen is crucial, friends. How we listen is crucial to understanding what is required of us as disciples of Jesus Christ. So ask questions to seek understanding of what may not be so clear at first. But after the disciples asked Jesus about the parable, we see his response to those around him. Look at verse 11 again. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret," or your translation might say the mystery of the kingdom of God. "But for those outside, everything is in parables." So Jesus here highlights two types of hearing audiences: those who hear on the inside and those who hear on the outside. Those who are with Jesus, do his will, are on the inside, who receive the secret of the kingdom. The secret or mystery of the kingdom means a knowledge of God that cannot be attained by natural means. Right? And that word "given" there is really important. Jesus says, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God." The reality and nature of God's kingdom can't be attained by human means alone, but it must be given by God himself. And what has Jesus been telling his disciples what this secret is? That the kingdom of God has come through him, and he is planting in the hearts of those who will hear the seeds of his word. Right, but the irony is, what has been revealed in Jesus seems to be veiled or hidden, right? Because people are rejecting, opposing, or not taking him and his word seriously. So what's going on? What we are learning is that God's word, who is Jesus, the Son of God, is not so obvious to everyone here on earth. Only by having the eyes of faith can people see the mystery of God's kingdom in Jesus Christ. And that's the point of parables. Only by having ears of faith can people understand the secret of God's kingdom. And this is the point of the parable of the sower, that those who are given the secret of the kingdom of God receive not because they were something special or intelligent enough or were good enough to receive it. No, but only because Jesus gave it to them. The mystery of God does not become a mystery anymore when God's effective power produces a fruitful harvest in those who receive it. And those who receive it simply do so because they hear the word of Christ. And they hear the word of God because they are with Jesus. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes from what? Hearing. And hearing through what? The word of Christ. That's right. It's through the word of Christ that faith is brought about to see and believe that Jesus is the King of the kingdom. So don't mess around with the word, church. Don't mess around with the word. You need to hear his word with ears fully attentive, because you know that the word of God is not like any other word. It's not like the words in the newspaper you read. It's not like the words you hear on television. It's not like the words that you hear on social media, but it's the word which comes from the living God. So, church, take heed to hearing the word of Christ. But as we will see, not everyone hears. Parables are a way to speak not only to insiders, but outsiders as well. Those who have ears to hear but don't hear. The outsiders are those who either, like the religious leaders, totally oppose Jesus, or they are those who are careless listeners of Jesus and his message. And this is where the quote from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10 comes in. We read that in our scripture reading. On the surface, it seems like Jesus used parables in an unloving way, right? When you read that quote from Isaiah 6, at first you might think, man, is that really loving of Christ? To make the message of the kingdom of God harder to understand to those on the outside? But what's actually here going on is that Jesus' parables actually confirm the states of people's hearts. A Again, as we read in Isaiah chapter 6, the context, Israel was deep in their sin and idolatry. They disregarded God's word again and again and again. And the fact that God sent Isaiah is to still proclaim his word to his people, even when they were content in their sin, shows us the reality of people's hearts. That even when God sends a prophet, people still don't hear. They were hardened, and God is confirming that with Isaiah. So what you can say is that parables don't bar people from understanding, but simply reveal or confirm people's belief or unbelief. One pastor put it like this: parables probe inside us to see whether we really understand the gospel and whether the gospel is really beginning to transform our lives. If we are to understand the parable of the sower, we are to understand the rest of Jesus' parables. It's the parable of the parables, if you will. And so what makes this parable the paradigm for all the others? Well, this is the third section in verses 13 through 20. To help us interpret the parable and see that, so what we see of the sower combines two elements that help us to see the core understanding of the kingdom of God, which is Jesus and discipleship. Verses 2 through 8 help us to understand Jesus, right? If we are to understand anything at all, it needs to be in the context and relationship to Jesus. And then in verses 14 through 20, these verses will help us understand discipleship. The interpretation of the parable puts its emphasis on hearing. Discipleship depends on hearing God's word. And we see this, the emphasis, with the amount of times the word, and hear are mentioned in verse 13 through 20. Word is mentioned 8 times and hearing is mentioned 4 times, just in those few verses. To help us understand here, I want us to imagine a human without ears. In Eugene Peterson's book, Working the Angles, he helps us to do that. He helps us imagine a human without ears. Eyes, nose, and mouth, but no ears. Where ears are supposed to go is only a smooth surface that cannot be penetrated. God speaks, but no response. Then Peterson places this human in a bustling of religious activity, deaf to the voice of God. People are offering sacrifices, but how did they know that they should even offer sacrifices? Well, it's because they read that they should offer sacrifices. They followed instructions, and thus they became religious. They read with their eyes the rituals to which they should perform. But how do they miss the part that says God is not delighting in these sacrifices they are making? There must be something more than just following instructions about sacrifices. And there is. God is speaking, and he must be listened to. But how can we hear when we don't have ears to hear? Well, God begins to get a pick and shovel through the surface and dig through our ears to make a passageway that gives access to the interior depths, into our mind, and then deeply into our hearts. Peterson gives this illustration based on Psalm 40, where David writes at the beginning, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry." And then in verse 6 we read, "In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required, but I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart." As Peterson ends this illustration and reflection on Psalm 40, he writes, "Now with ears newly dug in the head of this person, a voice is heard calling, inviting. The ear takes over from the eye and involves the heart." When you are patient and call upon God, he does his work to open your ears to hear his heart for you. And when this happens, the good seed of God's word matures and grows into your own life and heart. But again, not all ears are the same. Not all heads are looking for God to dig a hole for an ear to hear. They are content with following instructions on a page, but missing the author of the page altogether. And this is what we see with the first three types of hearing. The first three types of hearing are those whom Satan steals away, those with no root who fall away in difficulty, and those whose worldly desires choke out the word. The hearing here is shallow. The hearing here is careless and inattentive. As they fail to hear, they are confirmed as outsiders, and the word of God is not fruitful in them. But in verse 20, the last type of hearing, we see the word being heard, received, and bearing fruit. And this is a mark of a disciple. A responsive hearing produces an abundant harvest. The word about Christ is powerful to save lost sinners and bring them back to life again. It's the power that will sanctify you and continue in you to mature in the faith. This is what Paul says to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. He says, and we always thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you. Accept the word, church, as the word of God. Hear the word as if Jesus himself is sitting next to you, speaking to you, because the word is the work that is being done in you. I wonder if your ears hear God's word like this. I wonder if you hear the living activity of God's voice through his word. I wonder if you hear God as a speaking God that invites you to hear him. What a glorious reality that the creator of the universe would speak to his creatures and invite them into his glorious kingdom. Wow. So what do these verses so far teach us about Jesus and his word? Well, we have seen that Jesus is the sower of the word that brings about the kingdom of God. And this mystery about the kingdom of God is given to those who are with Jesus and hear his word. Those who continually hear, accept, and bear fruit. And so the last section of the parable in verses 21 through 25, Jesus will encourage us to keep seeking after him because he is meant to be found. So let's go ahead and read verses 21 through 25. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Again, the good news of Jesus, if anybody at this point had any doubt, is not to be hidden from people, but is supposed to be revealed. That's the point of the lamp expression in verses 21 through 22. Right? A light is supposed to shine and shine forth to be seen. Jesus is the light of the world that brings hope and salvation to the world. His gospel is supposed to be shouted from the rooftops, discussed at the dinner table, proclaimed in the pulpit, and revealed in the world. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. But this is not so much an encouragement for evangelism, though that is an implication here, as much as it is an encouragement for disciples of Jesus. Those of you in the pews this morning who have heard the message of the gospel, Jesus is saying to you this morning, continue to pay attention to to what you hear, lest your ears become hardened and deaf to what God calls you to in his word. Disciples do not stop paying attention once they have a knowledge of the gospel, but it's a lifetime of understanding that you'll be learning for all of eternity that makes its way into the very fiber of your being. And that's why Jesus' promise is so encouraging to those of us who pay attention to his word. Because as we diligently seek to know the mystery of his kingdom given in Jesus and allow the kingdom to break in on you, you will receive a greater capacity to know and enter his kingdom. But those who fail to receive the mystery in Jesus will discover that what they have will be taken away, just like the first three ears we heard in the parable. Pay attention to what you hear, because God reveals his kingdom to those who hear. So how do you make sure that you continue to grow in the hearing of God's word? Well, it's by looking to Jesus. When you look at Jesus, you see God's word wrapped in flesh of love. When you look at Jesus, you realize that a holy, infinite God bridged the gap between himself and you. The invisible became visible, giving himself for your sake. You realize that he hears the cries of your heart. And he moves to rescue you. He hears the deafness of your hearts that your sins unleash. Even so, that it drove Jesus to the cross, where he heard, "Release Barabbas and crucify Jesus." And yet he willingly died so that his enemies could now be his friends. At the cross, Jesus heard the silence of his Father's voice so that your ears of faith could receive and accept that what he says, "By grace you have been saved from the wrath of God." Jesus is calling to you now and saying, "Come now and enter my rest. Come now and listen to my words of eternal life. Come now and listen to me, the one who loves you and gave myself for you." I pray that you would incline your ear to him this morning and give your heart to him. So as we transition from the first parable, the kingdom of God is not what you would expect from where the kingdom starts, as a seed in the ears and hearts of man, to where it will conclude or end up. And that's the point of the last two parables about the kingdom, which leads us to our second point, understand how the kingdom progresses. Let's go ahead and read the second parable in verses 26 through 29. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Like the parable of the sower, Jesus again tells a parable about a man sowing seeds. But this time, it's about the process of growth. When a seed is planted, it does not sprout up into full potential right away. Time passes, the days go on, and apart from the farmer's work, the seed begins to grow. The farmer doesn't even know how this process happens. But despite the farmer's lack of knowledge and absence from the beginning, the seed begins to grow anyway. The seed contains within itself the potential for growth. This illustrates just how powerful the gospel of Jesus Christ really is. Apart from human activity to make the gospel powerful, the gospel itself sets the kingdom of God in motion for an abundant harvest. Even when the kingdom of God seems obscure or unobservable, it's still there and growing. Even though the farmer does not have much control over the seed's growth, he is still confident that there will be a harvest to collect in the end. If we are understanding this parable, we should not be discouraged by the shape that the kingdom of God takes in this world. We should not be discouraged of rejection, misunderstanding, or opposition, because Jesus himself experienced all those things. And he was still confident in the success of God's kingdom, that he still went to the cross and laid his life down. This is the type of faith that Jesus expects of his followers. Ones who rise and sleep, knowing that God's kingdom will produce a fruitful harvest. The process of spiritual growth is spontaneous in the kingdom of God, but it remains a mystery to natural humanity. The last sentence in verse 29 communicates a warning. There will come a time at the end of age that God will establish his rule and reign throughout the whole earth. God will judge the chaff and weeds, but save the wheat. Those who have received his word, accepted it, and borne fruit from it. Let this be a warning to those who don't know Jesus or are not listening to him. He will come back, and he won't come back veiled like his first coming. He will come back triumphant and noticeable to all. But it will be too late to hear him then. So allow Jesus to speak to you today. He's calling you to turn from your disobedience of his word and turn and trust in him, making him supreme in your heart. The third parable contains another seed metaphor. But this time, Jesus likens the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. Let's go ahead, the remaining of our passage, verses 30 through 34. And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade." Let's stop there. The mustard seed was very small, barely visible to the human eye. This seed, though very small, grew into a large shrub in which birds may nest in. Like the previous parable, the kingdom of God is not something that humanity brings about, but something that God gives. But the main point is that what started as small and insignificant grew into something large and significant. The kingdom of God will not only be more real than people imagined, but all-encompassing. The mystery of the kingdom is that it appears in the smallest form, but will eventually be the greatest. The Old Testament prophets occasionally use the image of birds nesting in branches to allude to the inclusion of the Gentiles into God's chosen people. Out of small beginnings, the kingdom of God created his mighty kingdom, which includes all peoples of the world. Wow. What seemed unlikely at the beginning with a small seed comes to fruition at the end with a people from every tongue, tribe, and nation under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, the King. The all-encompassing kingdom. This is what the word of the gospel sown in the hearts of regular people like me and you will become. Jesus reveals this to his disciples now, but it is by faith that we believe that Christ's reign in us will encapsulate the whole earth. The curse of sin will be no more. The pathways and rocks and thistles of Satan's schemes will be banished. The peace of Christ will rule the earth where everyone's ears are opened without obstruction. And God's voice will be heard and treasured. This is what it's supposed to be all about since the very beginning. And will one day come to fruition. But God is patient. And as time passes, gives us the opportunity to make God reign supreme in our lives today. Just as he will forevermore. Mark concludes this parable section by again emphasizing hearing. Let's read our last two verses in verse 33 and 34. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them. And as they were able to hear it, he did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. In the classroom of faith, no one moves on to higher forms of learning until they have got down the elementary doctrines. You don't go on to sentences and paragraphs before you have down your ABCs. As the writer of the Hebrews explains, the glorious realities of Jesus being our great high priest, in chapter 5, he pauses to say, well, about this we have to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity. And we will do this if God permits. One of my mentors in seminary used this verse in Hebrews as he introduced me to doctrine and theology. And so every time we met, he reminded me that what we were learning in God's word could only be understood and treasured if only God allowed it. We can only move on to maturity if God permits. So we prayed before every study that God would permit us to move on, to dig deep into the glorious well of his word and hear him more clearly. That Christ would be made more beautiful to us. That our eyes would turn into ears and hear God speak. And so it may be for all of you, when you realize God reveals the mystery of his kingdom to those who hear in faith the word about Christ. So that means you must pay close attention to God's word, which will enable you to understand the nature of how spiritual growth happens in the kingdom of God. You will do this if God permits. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for our text this morning, a humbling text. Lord, we asked for your aid. Lord, there are lots of things that can tickle our ears, that can obstruct our hearing. And Lord, help us to set aside our lives and our ears to sit with you and hear you speak. Move our eyes to see words on the page, to hear you speak into us, into our hearts, as you are in relationship with us. Move us as disciples of Christ to remain in you and do your will. And Lord, help us to listen. Calm our hearts. Calm our ears and settle in to hear you speak, the God of all creation, the power of your word helps us grow, and it saves, and it sanctifies, and it glorifies. That is the word we need to hear. I pray that that would be true of us this morning. Help us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.